The first week in this series, we were talking about how that Joseph, a young man of 17 years of age, has dreams. God begins to give him a series of dreams. And the interesting thing is, he didn't ask for those dreams. He didn't ask God, God, would you give me dreams? God just chose him and said, here's dreams, here's what's going to happen. And in those dreams, he dreamed that his brothers were going to bow before him, that even his mom and dad were going to bow before him. And we talked about how that the dreams are a place of promise in our life. It's a place of possibility, a place of potential, that God's given us this, but now it's up to us to live it out and to figure out how that we bring forth what it is that God wants to do in our life. The second week, we talked about how that Joseph's brothers hated him, and how because they hated him, that one day he showed up and they threw him into a pit. In fact, they were going to kill him, but then they got a better idea, and we talked about how that in that process that Joseph was rejected. We talked about the pit being a place of rejection, and how that each and every one of us go through rejection in our life, and that if we're not careful, we allow that rejection to define what it is that God wants to do in us and through us, and how that you and I have to learn how to overcome rejection and to live out our destiny into what God has. Last week, we talked about Joseph being in Potiphar's house. He's sold into slavery, and he winds up in Potiphar's house. But we talked about last week how that Potiphar's wife, the Bible says, looked at him, and that Joseph was good looking, and because of that, she began to tempt him. She began to say, hey, let's go to bed. And the Bible says that Joseph resisted that temptation. That's what we talked about last week, was that in Potiphar's house is a place of temptation. In our lives, each and every one of us are going to be tempted to lay aside our dream for a moment. We're going to be tempted to give in to a momentary pleasure so that we can enjoy something, and yet what it does is that it forfeits the dream that God has for us. And the great thing is, the Bible says that Joseph didn't give in to it. In fact, one day, Potiphar's wife reaches out and grabs him, and he literally runs out of his coat, and she says to her husband, see this Hebrew guy that you've brought into the house, see what he's done, he's tried to rape me. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today. So would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Genesis, the 39th chapter, and we're going to see what happens to Joseph now that he's been lied about, okay? He was in a place of promise, he went to a pit, he wound up in Potiphar's house and was blessed there, but now look what's going to happen in the 39th chapter of Genesis, beginning in the 20th verse. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, I like that, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Amen. Listen, it doesn't matter where you wind up in life, the Lord's with you. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph. Isn't it interesting it says that twice? The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk today about the prison, which is a place of refining. Here's what I know about our lives. It doesn't matter who we are or where we are in life. If we're going to achieve what we believe that we should out of life, there's going to be a process of refining. You're going to go through some things. The word refine means to reduce to a pure state. It means to improve or to perfect. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you still have a little room for improvement? If your neighbor does not have their hand up, would you just lay hands on them maybe, all right? I'm kidding. All of us have a little room for improvement. And that's what refining is. And what I begin to look at is I looked at this story, I begin to think about prison and what prison does to us, maybe in the natural, but also in our emotions and our mind and our will and on and on and on. And I begin to think about prisons of life. And I want to talk about three of those real quickly. One of them is oppression. When you're in a place of harshness and suffering, that comes along in everybody's life. They go through this. And if we're not careful, we allow that season of harshness, and we allow that to define us. We allow that to make us bitter. We allow allow that to kind of, you know, give us that permanent frown on our face. And we tell people all the time, well, if you knew what we were going through, right? And so it's that place of oppression. The second place is the place of obscurity. It's that place where you're forgotten by everybody. You know, the people that are the closest to you, the people that all love you the most, they've forgotten about you. The people that all have stood with you, they've forgotten about you. And again, in those moments, it's easy to become bitter against people. It's easy to get mad at people. But we've got to learn, and we'll look at Joseph's life today, and we'll find that there's a way not to allow that to happen in your life. The third one is what I call opportunity. Now, that sounds a little funny for me to use that as a sign of a prison, but here's what I mean by that. We had a builder on a couple of our building projects here, and any time that I would see him coming to me and he would go, "Pastor, we have an opportunity," I knew that meant something had gone wrong. And I always knew that it was going to cost me more money than I wanted it to, it was going to take longer than we thought it was going to, et cetera, et cetera. But he would always come to me. He didn't say it's a challenge, it's an obstacle. He would always say, "Pastor, there's an opportunity." Well, in your life, you're going to have a lot of opportunities. You're going to have a lot of things that show up in your life, and in that moment is a time of refining. It's a time of deciding whether or not you are going to allow God to fulfill his purpose in your life. And as I was thinking about this, I remember the scripture in the book of 1 Peter, and if you want to turn there all the way almost to the end of the New Testament, or you can just look at it on the screen. The book of 1 Peter kind of gives us an insight here that I want to talk about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, and I want you to see this, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while," you see that? "For a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Now, let me say something to you. Just because you're a Christian does not mean you're not going to experience some hard times. Amen? We've been sold a bill of goods, especially in the Spirit-filled church, that if you really love Jesus, you're just going to walk in blessing. You're going to have plenty of everything. You're never going to go through any tough time. Nobody's ever going to get sick. Nobody's ever going to have anything bad happen. If you're really blessed, that's what it means. Well, I want to tell you, this scripture totally disproves that. Amen. Let me keep reading for the rest of you. "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result." Now look what God says. You're going to go through some things. You're going to experience some tough times. You're going to go, in fact, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The reason that we go through these things, the Word of God tells us, is that it may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The Apostle Peter tells us exactly what Joseph goes through. He says, here's why Joseph went through this. Now, he's not referring exactly to Joseph, but he's saying, here's what happens in your life, is that the refining fire of God comes along in our life, and it's going to. Here's what you've got to understand. Four things are going to happen. Eventually, it's going to bring joy. The Bible says, "Weeping will endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Now, it's hard when the weeping is there to understand that there's joy down the road. It's tough when you're in that process. It's a horrible time when you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through a tragedy, when you're going through heartache and pain and all the things that go into that. But in that, what we have to understand is that the Word of God says that eventually, down the road, it's going to bring joy. The Bible says this way. It says, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but one day, face to face." One day, we're going to understand what God does. The second aspect of when you go through this refining process is this, is that it's relatively brief, according to Scripture. You say, "Pastor, I've been going through this for 5 years. It didn't feel brief." I understand. Do you realize that we're not sure how long Joseph was in prison, but he was there over 2 years, we know, and possibly 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 years that he is in prison. But Joseph understood that it was relatively short. Wow, you say, "I don't believe that." Well, listen to me. Compared to eternity, Now, you say, well, that's a sellout. No, it's not. Do you realize that more of your life is going to be lived on the other side of death than it is on this side? We do understand that, right? That one day this body, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years, this body's going to lay down, but eternity's forever. So whatever I go through, we look at it a lot of times, and we look at people and we pray for them. God, won't you heal them? And I want to tell you, I believe God's a healer. I believe Jesus took stripes upon his back for all of our healing. But I also believe that if you don't ever get healed on this earth, it's relatively short. Because one day we're going to be in heaven and all pain is going to cease. All bodies are going to be whole. All difficulties are going to pass away. And we are going to live forever in the joy and in the presence of God for eternity. So it's relatively brief. The next aspect that I think the Apostle Peter addresses so greatly is that he lets us know, hey, it's real pain. It's not imaginary. It's not. Have you ever had somebody, when you're in pain, try to tell you it doesn't hurt? Right? You know, something happens to you and you go, man, I'm hurting. They go, oh, it's not that bad. Shake it off. I'm going to shake you off. Don't. Right? Don't be telling me about my pain. I know I'm in pain. You know, I understand men are big babies. I got that, all right? I said years ago, if men had to give birth, the human race would have died out long ago, all right? But don't tell me I'm not in pain, all right? And so when you go through something, it's real. Everybody else around you may not be real to them, but I want to tell you, Joseph's in prison, that's real. That's about as real as it can get. He understands where he's at. And then lastly, the Apostle Peter says to us is that it purifies us. It cleanses us. It's like a refining fire that comes through our soul and brings us into where God wants us to be. And so as we see this, and I won't read this, but Genesis 39, verse 21 through 23, that we read to you a little bit earlier, talked about how that the keeper of the prison had given everything into Joseph's hand, and how that because of that, we now, as we look at that, Joseph got a hold of some things about that, because it says that the hand of God was with Joseph and that Joseph was blessed and on in the midst of this. And so what we have to understand is that Joseph understood some things. And I think if we can get that understanding, that you and I can also endure whatever it is that life takes us through. Listen to me this morning. Everybody is going to go through some heartache. Nobody gets out of this world without going through some pain. And we might as well go ahead and say it. We don't need to, you know, hey, how you doing? Oh, everything's wonderful. No, there are some days things aren't wonderful. There are moments we're experiencing a prison. There are those moments that we are going through, that issue, that time that we don't understand. And we say, God, what are you up to? It's like you've left me. It's like you've forsaken me. But you know what? Joseph understood something about God. First of all, he understood God's presence. He knew that no matter where he was, that God was with him. He knew that God would never leave him, he'd never forsake him, that he'd go with him till the end of the age. And I want you to know today, wherever you are, God is there. You may be in a prison today. It may not be a natural prison. It may be for some of you who are watching by television. It could be a natural prison today. It may be a prison in your soul. It may be a prison in your mind. It may be a prison of the moment of a tragedy that you're going through. But I want to tell you, don't forget God's presence. Because it is the presence of God that will sustain you in that moment. It is the presence of God that it walks with you and keeps you in that moment which you're going through. And Joseph hung on to it, even though he's in prison, even though he's going through the hardest thing of his life at this moment. And he's there. You know what? Anytime you meet anybody that's in prison, nobody's ever guilty. Well, this guy's not guilty. And yet, he's still going through it. But he never forgets God's presence. Secondly, he never forgets God's provision. The Bible says the hand of God was on Joseph. You know what? Even in the midst of prison, the scripture said that the warden, think about this, the warden turned the prison over to the prisoner. Now that's anointing, right? Come on, you know, he trusted Joseph more than he trusted all the guards. He said, it's all yours, whatever you. So in the midst of that, how many of you believe Joseph had the best the prison had to offer to eat? He had the best place to sleep. Yeah, I mean, why? Because he is understanding that God's presence is with him. And so God's provision is always there. Lastly is Joseph understood God's purpose. God's purpose. See, that's where the train goes off the track so often in our lives, is because we don't understand that in the moment we're experiencing something and we forget that God has a purpose. You say, well, what can be the purpose of me going through this? Why am I having to experience this heartache? Why am I having to go through this tragedy? Why did I have to get divorced? Why did my business have to fail? Why did my kids have to backslide? I don't know. But here's what I do know. I know what Joseph knew. When his brothers showed up years later, he looked at them and said, that which you meant for evil, God meant for good. I may not understand in the moment why I am having to go through this, but I'm going to tell you, God's purpose is bigger than my tragedy. Amen? In that moment, you can understand that. At 14 years of age, my father was killed in a car accident in Kenya. I just thought of that as I was sharing with you here. And at 14 years of age, my whole world crashed and burned. And in that moment, I got bitter at God. I got mad at God. And I said, if this is who God is, I don't want anything to do with him. And for years, even after I went into the ministry, for years, there was a part of me that was bitter against God. And yet, years later, as I stood in Kenya, and I had the story told to me of a Kenyan man who had seen the car accident the day that my father was killed. And he looked at his young son and said, if that man loves his God that much, I'll give the rest of my life to serving God. And at the point that I was there, he had just passed away. And at a conference that they had just had, they had over 300 pastors who were at that conference. And well over half of them had come to Jesus because of that one man. Now, I didn't understand the purpose at 14 years of age, and it doesn't mean I didn't still go through the pain, but here's what I know. Now I see through a glass darkly, but one day, I'll see face to face. In your life, you don't know. You don't know what's happening in that moment, but what you do know is God's got a purpose. Hang on to that. Some of you need to hear Pastor today. Some of you who are listening to me, you need to hear me today. You need to hang on to God's purpose. Don't give up. It's a prison. It looks horrible. It looks like everybody has gone and you are alone, but I'm telling you, God is still on your side. Do not give up. Don't quit. Hang on. God's got something for you. You say, well, Pastor, how do I go about it? You're telling me about Joseph, but how do I go about refining this gift that's been in my life? Well, you remember in the early part of this story of Joseph, that Joseph had this dream, 17 years of age, and now here he is. He's in his 20s, and he's living in a prison. But the gifting that God, the leadership gifting that God had placed on him comes to the surface. And we see there in the 39th chapter going into the 40th chapter how that God has his hand on him, and they give everything into his care, and we find that at that moment that the king's cupbearer and the king's baker are thrown into prison, and yet even in that moment Joseph is used of God to do some interesting things in this time. And so I want to show you how Joseph operates, and I think that you can apply that to your life so that you can find in your life as well how you can refine the gift that God has given you. Look in the fourth verse of the 40th chapter. I'm going to jump a little bit of it there, where it talks about Pharaoh being angry with the cupbearer and the chief baker. It says in verse 4, it says, the captain of the guard assigned them, these two men, to Joseph, and he attended them. Now think about that, all right? Number one is this, is that Joseph had a concern for others. All right? Have you ever seen somebody trying to fulfill a dream, but it's all about them? They want to tell you about, man, if I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this. We talk a lot at Love and True Churches about changing lives to change our world. That's what we believe. We believe God's called us to do that. And you know what? That's not about us. That's about others. It's not about establishing our kingdom or our you know, whatever. It's about others. And that's what God's called us to do. If all you can do is talk about you, It's not from God. You say, Pastor, that's pretty bold. I know. But I've been known to say bold things. It's not from God. If it's all about your establishing, you know, putting your name on something and everybody knows you did it, and what, it's not from God. If it's about helping somebody. See, Joseph is in prison. Joseph, I mean, think about this. Joseph could have given up on God. I mean, people have given up on God for a whole lot less. Ever met anybody and say, well, I used to go to church. Well, why'd you quit going? Well, somebody got my seat. Really? Well, preacher didn't shake my hand. Really? Somebody got my parking spot. Man, I hope you don't stand beside Joseph at judgment. You quit going to church because somebody didn't shake your hand. Joseph is living in a prison still serving God. Amen. See, Joseph's focus did not turn inward. Joseph's focus was still on how can I be a blessing to somebody else. Look in verse 6. Here's what he says. He goes on to say, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. In other words, they were down and out. Their faces were, you know, all out of shape there. Here's the second thing. If you want to be a person who is being refined to make a real difference, he was constantly aware of what was happening. All right? He didn't get up that morning and say, man, another day in prison. I can't believe I didn't do anything to that woman. In fact, I tried to be holy and righteous. I tried to do what's right. I can't believe God's forsaken me. Come on, you know we've all had those pity parties. I mean, you know there's been moments you just said, I want to quit. I want to quit life. I want to quit my wife. I just want to quit. I want to give up. Joseph wasn't in that place. Joseph is still, as soon as he sees those two guys, they've had dreams and they don't know what those dreams are. And he sees them and the Bible says they're dejected because they're all confused. And Joseph immediately sees it. I wonder what would happen to us if we lived life concerned about others. What could God do through you if you were genuinely concerned? Not just about getting ahead. Well, Pastor, I believe God's given me a dream to make millions of dollars. I don't have a problem with that. But he's given you a dream to make millions of dollars so you can bless somebody else. See, that's the reason God does these things to us. And so Joseph has this great dream. People are going to be bowing down to me. I mean, you talk about an elevated dream. I mean, I've never had a dream of people bowing down to me. That's what Joseph, and yet he sees these guys and he's concerned about what they're going through. Look at verse 8. Here's what he goes on to say. Verse 8, we both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. That's why we're sad this morning. And then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? All right? Number 3 is this. You've got to know your source. If you're going to be used greatly by God in any area of your life, and remember, as a Christian, we don't have spiritual things and the rest of life. Our whole life is integrated. And so if you're going to be used of God in the business world, if you're going to be used of God in your family, if you're going to be used of God in some kind of ministry, you have to understand, first of all, is that you've got to know who is your source. And Joseph said, don't you understand interpretations come from God? And he's in a polytheistic country that serves many gods, but he didn't. The word there he's using is that dreams come from Jehovah. He said the one true living God. That's who gives dreams. And you and I have got to come to that place where we understand who's our source. So I got a question for you. Some of you are going to think this is interesting, but I say interesting things. If you don't believe that, you ought to have been here last week. Here's my question. Who's your daddy? You all right? Who is your source? If God's not your source, you're in trouble. You're not going to be able to achieve a whole lot if God's not the source. But if you understand that God is the source, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God told us, without me, you can do nothing. But then later he said, with me, all things are possible. So you got to know your source. Number four is, you've got to believe in yourself. Same verse. He says, do not interpretations come from the Lord? And then he said, tell me your dreams. Tell me your dreams. He believed in who he was. He believed in what God was doing in his world. Have you ever been around? Let me do this for singers, since I'm not one, so I can do this. To singers, have you ever seen somebody who has a beautiful, I'm not talking about, you know, the first 2 weeks of American Idol. I'm talking about somebody who can really sing, and they sing with anointing, and the presence of God shows up, and somebody walks up to them after church and says, oh, that was such a, you have such a beautiful voice. And they go, oh, it wasn't me, it was all the Lord. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's no more true than the city guy who's out driving one day, and he sees this great farm out there, corn for acres and acres and acres. The city guy sees a farmer leaning up against a tree there, and he gets out of the car, and he walks over there, and he says, looks at that farm, and looks at all those acres of corn, and he goes, wow, look what God's done. Old farmer leans back, takes a chaw and spits, says, son, you should have seen this field when God had it by himself. You can do that what you want to. But here's the deal. If you are created in the image and the likeness of God, remember I told you a few weeks ago, you're God's favorite. Amen. You say, well, how can I be God's favorite? This person over here, this person. You are God. Why? He's God. We are his favorite. So he looks at, that's my favorite. Oh, there's my favorite. There's my, oh, that my favorite's what? That's my favorite. He looks at, that's our. So when you begin to understand that, you don't sell yourself short. Joseph didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go into a deep season of prayer and fasting, and after 40 days, I'll tell you your dream. No, he says, God is the giver of interpretation of dreams. Tell me your dream. Why? Because Joseph has already been praying. Joseph has continued in the process of working on his dreams. Don't you think that through the years he has been asking God, God, show me interpretation. Let me learn how to interpret dreams. Let me refine this gift that you have placed within my heart. And in that moment when those guys show up, he doesn't know that they're going to be the fulfillment of his dream. But what he does know is that now he has an opportunity to use the gift that God's given him. Don't miss it. Too many people are waiting for something big to use the gift God's given you. You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for an open door. You give me an open door. Did God lead you? You know what? This whole lead business, some people just didn't get the lead out of the seat of their pants. I got led the day I got called to Jesus Christ, and as long as it's in his kingdom doing what he's called me to do, I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill the vision that God has for his kingdom. I mean, if you can't teach the second graders, oh, help me, Lord. If you can't be, the Bible says it this way. Let me just do this. Let me quote Bible at you. Do that. The Lord says, if you're faithful in the little things, he'll make you ruler over much. Joseph is interpreting dreams in a jail cell, and because of that, we're going to find next week that he gets promoted and becomes the co-regent to Pharaoh. Just learn wherever you're at to use the gift God's given you. If there's an opportunity, people say, I want to be a great speaker. And they're waiting on, you know, John Maxwell Organization to call them to be a great speaker. No, go speak to five people somewhere. Use the gift that's in you. I started off preaching in a nursing home. Every Saturday morning. Why did you preach in a nursing home? Because they didn't have anywhere to go. They could not leave. You talk about a captive audience. I had one. That's about all I could give was to a nursing home at that point. All right? But because of that, God opened other doors and things began to happen. And years later, you know, God's blessed my ministry and I've seen great things happen. But you got to be willing to start when the door opens. Let me get done. Look at the 19th verse. We're going to skip way down. Before I do that, he interprets the dream for the cupbearer, and he says to the cupbearer, hey, here's what's going to happen. In 3 days, you're going to be restored to the king. And, oh, yeah, by the way, don't forget me when you get there. And so in 3 days, it happens. The cupbearer goes back. So the baker comes to him and says, here's the dream I had, and here's what I want you to do is I want you to interpret that dream. And so Joseph says, hey, here's what it means, that the 3 days are three baskets, or the three baskets are 3 days. But then verse 19, he says, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Praise God. In Jesus' name. I mean, what do you say after that? See, here's the fifth thing about refining. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Don't fear man, fear God. See, we've got so many people, they're afraid of people, and so they want to do what's politically correct. They want to take a poll and make sure everybody's on board. No. You need to learn to speak the truth. Now, there'll be some people who won't like you. Some people won't agree with you, but it's okay, because if you speak the truth, you don't have to worry about what you said. Joseph is allowing God to work through him, and he's saying, man, I hate to tell you this, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to die. That's not a great word to give. You know, I mean, have you ever been, some of you been in settings where, you know, people are receiving words from the Lord, and you know, the six people in front of you, you're blessed, oh, God bless you. And then they get to you. Yea, I would say unto thee, I see dark days ahead. You go, oh, man, why not get one of these over here? Why wouldn't I have the fourth one in line? Why'd I have to be the sixth one in line? All the good ones are gone. It's kind of where this guy is. But you've got to be willing to speak the truth. Last is this. It's found in the 23rd verse. And it's just what Joseph told the chief cupbearer. He said, hey, when you get back, don't forget me. But look what it says. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Let me give you the last one and I close. Here it is. If you really want to see your dream come true, never give up. 2 more years, Joseph is going to be in this prison. 2 more years, he's going to experience a place he doesn't deserve, going through things he should not be going through. And yet he doesn't give up. You say, how do you know he doesn't give up? Because we'll see next week, when he gets his opportunity, he's ready. He steps in to his destiny. I want to challenge some of you today. Don't give up. Some of you are this close to seeing the fulfillment of your future. Some of you are within reach of what it is that God has for you. But if you're not careful, the enemy is going to trick you. He's going to tell you, there's no reason for you to keep believing. Who do you think you are? You're in a prison cell. Everybody's forgotten you. You are lost and you're a nobody anyway. But I want to tell you, never give up. You went through a divorce. Never give up. Your business went bankrupt. Never give up. You tried to go into ministry and it didn't happen. Never give up. Because he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. Never, ever, ever give up on the dream that God's placed down inside of you. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, that he may run who reads it. And then it says, though it tarry, wait for it. I don't know. It may be a year. It may be 2 years. It may be 5 years for some of you. There are things that I believe in my ministry for God that I've been believing for years I have not seen come to pass yet, but it may be this year. Maybe it's going to be 2 years from now. I don't know. But you know what? If God spoke it, I'm still believing. I'm going to believe till the day I die. And then after that, if he has to resurrect me to bring me back to do it, he's going to make it happen. That's the kind of God he is. So don't give up. I challenge you. Hear me. You're in a prison. You're in a confining place. You're in a moment that's dark and horrible. Don't give up. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. And God wants to bless you, even in the midst of a jail cell.